You'll see now that when you bring the truth of the gospel to bear on the human mind, you get so many responses. You get a myriad of responses from people because they got so many doctrines. They've been indoctrinated by so many religious systems that they regurgitate answers based on their brainwashing. You've got to know that in this so you'll have thick skin. So you remain focused on what you're doing. Because people are always trying to throw stones at you when you tell the truth about something. You have to know that, learn that, embrace that, and walk in that. So you see here, the focus. How can you be focused if you don't know what your mission is? How can you be focused if you don't have a vision? The Bible says without a vision, the people will perish. They stumble around in darkness. You have to have a vision. You have to know where you're going and be focused on the destination. You got to move forward focused, and you're moving away from earth toward heaven through the word of God. Look at this. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Notice how he has a contrast here made between singleness of the eye and an eye that's evil. So the contrast is a single eye versus an evil eye. If your eye be evil, he said first in verse 22, if your eye be single. Now it says if your eye is evil, your whole body is full of darkness. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. Look at that contrast. Single eye full of light, evil eye full of darkness. So that's telling me if the contrast is between a single eye and an evil eye must be focused on a multiplicity of things. You see what I'm saying? If the single eye is right and it floods your body with light, and the evil eye is wrong and floods me with darkness, the evil eye must be looking at something else other than the single eye. And if the single eye is focused on one thing, then the evil eye must be focused on a lot of different things, multiple things. That's the contrast. We're looking at too many things. We've got too many focal points. Your mind is jumping around like somebody that's just unhinged. You're like a grasshopper. Your mind is hopping from there to there, from there, 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 pinging around, and you don't have a focus. Somebody called you. Now you're focusing on what they're talking about. You hang up the phone and somebody comes to the front door. Now you're focused on that. If somebody calls you again, you're focusing on that. You're running hither, thither, and yonder. You were headed somewhere, then your mind thought of somewhere else to go. Now you're driving the other direction, then remembered you need to be somewhere else. And then you forgot that, and you missed your appointment because you got 5,000 things you're thinking about because you don't have a focus. You don't ever want anybody working with you that can't focus. They can't focus. Remember that movie Taken? The guy would always tell people he was talking to, his wife and his daughter. When he was telling them something, he'd always say, focus, focus. Because they start talking about all this secondary and tertiary stuff. And he was telling them, do exactly what I'm telling you right now. This is going to be of paramount importance as we get close to the end of the world. Because God is going to give explicit instructions and you've got to focus on what he said. And here you are trying to ask a question. This is what basic training is all about in the military. Basic training does one thing for a soldier. Basic training teaches you unquestionable obedience. This is a logic behind drill. Drill instructions, they fall in. They call you to attention. Right face, left face, about face, forward march, column right march, column left march, chain step march, half step march, to the rear march, platoon halt, right face, left face, about face, side step march, to the rear march, I mean, all day long on this drill pad. And you're thinking, it's 105 degrees. We were down in San Antonio, Texas, basic training. You know how hot it is in Texas? And we out here for 2 hours on this drill pad. What are we doing? You want to ask the guy, hey man, what are we doing? This is stupid. This is silly. This serves no purpose. But you know what? When you get to Vietnam and you're in a firefight and that sergeant yells, get down. Everybody who questioned him is dead tonight. You got your head blown off. The point man signaled the sergeant, you got enemies up ahead, snipers. And he said, get down. And you said, huh? And your head was blown off. It's nothing worse than somebody trying to ask a question ignorantly, blind as a bat, because they don't know what they're doing and they can't follow instructions. The worst person on earth in God's economy is the person that won't follow instructions. Do as you're told. What's the big deal? Do what you're told to do. Well, I've got my own mind. Okay. You've got to learn obedience by the things you suffer then. You'll learn obedience because suffering will teach you. See, experience is not the best teacher. To obey instructions is the best teacher. Because experience might leave you with one leg, one eye gouged out. Experience might leave you missing a thumb. Experience might leave you with herpes, AIDS, or dead. Experience is not the best teacher. You've got to be focused. Mary was focused. Martha was unfocused. Mary was sitting there looking at every word coming out of Jesus' mouth with her eyes focused on his lips, taking into account everything he said. You know something you notice about church people nowadays that wasn't true in the 80s when I first got into church? Everybody in church when I was saved always had a pen and pencil and a pad to take notes. Most people don't take notes in church anymore, and they're not going to remember what you said. And they'll tell you, well, I'm going to listen to the recording later. No, when you're taking notes, your mind is being stimulated to jot down things to prompt your memory when you listen again, because it's going to be things coming through your mind. You can jot down little side notes, get your little outline going to remember to study certain things as the message is prompting you. People sit in church. They're not going to do anything but sit around in there and go back home because they're not students of the word. When you become a student of the word, you're just like a student in a college or a university. You're taking your study notes and you have, I must have filled up 30 notebooks. I think my wife did too. Just notebooks full of notes. And I'm talking about taking notes from R.W. Schombach meetings, notes from Derek Prince meetings, notes from B.H. Clendenin, R.D. Hinton, Jimmy Swaggart. All these guys back then teaching the word of God, David Wilkerson. We came up with all these people. Note taking is a lost science. Most folks' minds can't even focus long enough to even know what you just said. They can sit and listen and never hear you. Did you know it's possible to sit and listen to what I'm saying now and never hear what I said? You just listened. Coming to Wednesday night Bible studies is just a formality. It's just something you do. It's just something you go through. It's a ritual, but it doesn't mean anything because you don't have any inclination to take the engrafted word and grow thereby. Note taking is a lost art in the body of Christ. So you see now, you have to have prompts. You have to have aids to focus your mind. Visual aids, written aids, auditory aids. Everything is an aid in order to focus your mind, keep your mind focused. He'll have you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. So a single eye is full of light. An eye full of a multiplicity of things is full of darkness. That's the contrast. And then he says, and if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? I found that out, like I said recently, with this promotion of the organic gospel. That people jumping up with false revelations that they don't even know what they're talking about. A Seventh-day Adventist trying to give you advice. And you're in a Seventh-day Adventist cult trying to tell somebody about the gospel bound by the law. See, that's what you get. You get all these diversities. You got a Baptist guy telling you that the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost baptism is not for today. And if you see any signs and wonders, that's the sign it's the devil. See, the Bible speaks of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there will be a release of lying signs and wonders to people who don't love the truth. The Bible says because they receive not the love of the truth, God will send a strong delusion. That's right after he said that the Antichrist, the wicked one, will rise up with lying signs and wonders. And lying signs and wonders are part of the delusion for people who don't love the truth. But at the same time, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You'll speak with new tongues, you'll cast out devils, you'll lay hands on the sick. If you eat or drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. So notice how people who call themselves cessationists is a fancy word for those that believe the gifts have ceased. They believe the gifts have ceased from working now. They went out with the apostles. And now it's asking which apostle did it go out with? If the gifts went out with the apostles, which one did the gifts end with? And how did the gifts still operate in Stephen and Philip the evangelist if they went out with the apostles? Philip and Stephen were not apostles. So how did they go out with the apostles when Philip and Stephen were not apostles? That makes no sense. So you see now, to justify teaching that's not true, I've got to assign some kind of truth to it that's not even relevant. It's like Baptists and other denominations believing in Calvinism. Calvinism is not taught in the Bible. Every Bible expositor, those that teach the Bible with a discipline and an understanding, have come to the same conclusion. Derek Prince, Jacob Prash, David Paulson, all will tell you that Calvinism is not true. It's not true. But you have people who have had it taught to them to the degree that they think it's in the Bible. You see, when you read the Bible, your mind can be drawn off by different interpretations of the Bible. Hermeneutics is the art of interpreting the Bible. It's called hermeneutics in the seminary. In the seminary, it's called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics teach you how to interpret the Bible. Now, when you interpret the Bible, you can interpret the Bible inductively, or you can interpret the Bible deductively. What's the difference? When you interpret the Bible inductively, you take what the Bible says literally, you read it, and you believe it, and you get the source of information from the Bible. It's inductive reasoning. I'm just inducting, I'm intaking from the Bible what it says, without any of my own opinions or conclusions appended to it. Now, deductive reasoning is what you see somebody like Sherlock Holmes use. Sherlock Holmes, when he's investigating the case, uses deductive reasoning. In other words, he'll find clues and evidences of things, and then he will deduce from that evidence what may have happened or what should have happened or what is reasonable as far as what happened. See, deductive reasoning, when you apply that to the Bible, what you'll do is you'll take information and then deduce that, hey, it must mean this. You can't do that. You'll go crazy. You can't use deductive reasoning when reading the Bible, because if you use just deductive reasoning, you will take information and then try to draw a conclusion that the Bible does not say or state emphatically. I'll give you an example. People will tell you the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath, so therefore there must be a pre-tribulation rapture. That's deductive reasoning. It never said that the rapture was pre-tribulation, but they deduced from the fact that the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath, that the rapture must be pre-tribulation. Well, the wrath of God doesn't come in the tribulation period until the bowl judgments and the vial judgments and judgments. It's called bowls or vials based on what Bible you're reading in Revelation chapter 16. So it's a lot of stuff that happens up to Revelation chapter 16 that's involved in the tribulation period. So therefore, you could be in it and still not appointed to wrath because God took you out of it before he poured out his wrath. Don't use deductive reasoning alone. See, deductive reasoning can be valid if it's based on and married to inductive reasoning. In other words, there can be something that you deduce from the words in the Bible, but you can't teach it as doctrine. You can make it reasonable that this might have happened and teach it as such. And that's what you get people to think about. Like, I'll teach you Genesis chapter 6 about the Nephilim and the giants coming down to earth. And I say, you know, it's pretty reasonable that it's possible that when the giants came, were formed, in other words, it says that the angels came to earth and had sexual relationships with women, and they had giants, they had Nephilim from those sexual relationships. The flood came and drowned them. It may be reasonable that the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim might be what the demons are today. I can't prove that. I can't make that an absolute statement. But it may be reasonable. It's something for you to think about, something you just stop and consider. What does it say in Psalms all the time? Selah. Stop and consider this. So sometimes you just got to take some things and just say, well, you might want to think about this or that. Here's your options. That's teaching. Sometimes teaching can't bring you to an absolute conclusion, but you can deduce some things from the Bible that may or may not be true for you to kind of think about here or there. But when you use inductive reasoning, the Bible says this, and this is the way it is. The Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination. You don't have to deduce anything from that. It said it. Fornicators are going to hell. That doesn't require any deductive reasoning. It said it. Liars, fornicators, adulterers will have their place in the lake of fire. You don't have to deduce it. You don't have to evaluate. You don't have to examine. You don't misunderstand anything that was just said. It's the way it is. So you've got to know that with the Bible. Hermeneutics is the proper evaluation and interpretation of the Bible. The other thing that is valid when you're using hermeneutics is exegesis versus eisegesis. Exegesis begins with the letters E-X-E. Sounds like exit. And exegesis is drawing out of the Bible what the Bible says. In other words, you're just extracting from it. You're taking out of the scripture what it says. See, inductive and deductive reasoning is using your mind to interpret what was said. But exegesis is just extraction. I'm taking it out of the Bible, and then I use the inductive reasoning or deductive reason to evaluate the information. So exegesis is extracting from the Bible. Eisegesis begins with the letters E-I-S. Eisegesis means into. And eisegesis is reading into the Bible what it didn't say. That's what Calvinists do. They read into the Bible what it doesn't say. So they use the tulip principle to explain Calvinism. One, the T in tulip, man is totally depraved. Totally. For real? He has no ability to do anything to respond to God. You're totally depraved. You can't respond to God. There's nothing you can do to get saved in and of your own free will. God has to come save you all by himself. For real. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches you that you have a will. Whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the waters they are freely given. Jesus said, I want to draw you together, talking to the Israelites, like a hen gathers up her chicks, but you would not. Then God says, all day long I stretch forth my hand to a stiff neck and a stoic, rebellious people, and you would not come to me. You would not. I lay before you blessing and cursing. You choose life. Choose. The Bible's replete with examples of you using your will. And then they tell you you don't have a will because you're totally depraved. That is deduced from somewhere. They read that into the Bible through an eisegesis and then used deductive reasoning to come to a conclusion. It's wild. It is wild. And you believe this stuff and you'll be hung out to dry behind it, because all these different systems of belief begin to teach you things that are just not true. And when you believe this stuff, it can leave you out there on a limb believing things that are not true and trying to walk in them, and you'll be lost. The you in TULIP is unconditional election. In other words, God unconditionally elects who's going to be saved. If you were born today, a little baby just coming out of your mother's womb, you're born damned if God didn't elect you. What kind of a God do you think you're serving? To believe this stuff, you have to almost be right on the brink of insanity. That God is this ogre that has people born damned and unsavable. But they, of course, since they believe the TULIP principle in Calvinism, of course, I'm one of the elect. They justified slavery because black people were not the elect. So we can enslave them, beat them, and lynch them because they have been ostracized and rejected by God anyway. This stuff will drive you crazy. So the total depravity, unconditional election. The next tenet of Calvinism is limited atonement. Jesus didn't die for everybody. He just died for the elect people. So everybody wasn't paid for on Calvary. When the Bible plainly says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, that's an exercise of your will to accept the free will gift of God. Your will engages God to accept what he gave you. So they tell you it's limited atonement. Jesus didn't die for everybody. He only died for the elect. This is Calvinism. When you hear people talking about once saved, always saved, and I can't be lost, and all this other stuff, that's what you got. The next thing under TULIP is the I, irresistible grace. If God saved you, you will come to him. If he elected you, you will come. It's irresistible grace. You have no choice but to come to him if God saved you. So it's not your will. It's the fact that God chose you, and the grace that he gave was irresistible. All of this now sounds crazy when you say it out loud. You have millions of people believing this. This is how bad religion is. Deductive reasoning married to eisegesis, reading into the Bible what it does not say, will lead you into this heretical stuff that is insane. And then as I say this, the Calvinist right now is in a frenzy, ready to strangle me because he believes this. He or she believes it, and it makes sense to them. And the last principle is what you call once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. They call it with the P, perseverance of the saints. If God saved you, if he chose you, if he elected you, you will persevere and you'll never lose it. God will keep you outside of what you do. So therefore, they have to believe that a person that was saved because they were elected when they were 10, if they become a mass murderer, they're still saved, because you can't lose salvation because God is keeping you in spite of sin. So grace, super grace, overrides what you do physically, and you're saved in spite of your sin because God chose you. That is insanity. Everything I just described to you is insanity. And you have to be on the brink of losing your mind to believe it. And those people that believe it are offended at me right now for saying it. It's just like Jehovah's Witnesses. It's just like Mormons. It's just like Roman Catholics praying to Mary. And these are basic Baptist people. This is Charles Stanley. This is John MacArthur. Before you run around and follow Paul Washer, as he's preaching all heart, you better ask him, does he believe in Calvinism? See, everybody just follow stuff. But do you ask questions? Do you find out what's going on? You better search this thing out, man. It's the wisdom of a man. It's the brightness of a man. It's the intellect of a man that searches out a matter. The Bible says to search out a matter and see all the different dictates that are being directed towards you. You can't take anything at face value. Inductive reasoning versus deductive reasoning. Exegesis versus eisegesis. Hermeneutics is the proper interpretation of the Bible. If you don't understand these things, you can go into a delusion and not know you're in one. This is what we plan on doing at Dunamis Tabernacle. Breaking down people, breaking things down to you so you understand the basic foundations and tenets of the faith. So you're rooted and grounded so nobody can get to you with deception, because you know what you know and you know who you know. You really know Jesus for real, and you're remaining faithful to him because you've been taught the word in a disciplined, straightforward format. This is very important nowadays. It will keep you laser focused. Okay, look at this. He says in verse 24 of chapter 6 of Matthew, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't focus on mammon and serve God. You can't focus on prosperity doctrines and serve God. Don't you know people in prosperity doctrine churches are working to get money back? Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, all these guys built empires off of greed, promising you a return on your investment. And nobody's getting anything out of the deal but the con man leading the con game. It's all a con game. You got the folks focused on mammon and they can't serve God. So when you bring God to bear on their lives, when you bring the revelation of Jesus Christ, they get resentful because I'm focusing on mammon. Can't you see what happens when you bring the real gospel to bear on somebody in a word of faith or prosperity driven church? They get offended by the revelation of eternity. They get offended by the revelation of heaven. They get offended by the revelation of the Lord of glory. They are offended by Jesus Christ himself. They are offended by him because he's not going to let me have this return on investment I made in this prosperity tithing con game. They get offended by God because they place their affections on the earth and not above. He said, set your affections on things above and not on the earth. Prosperity doctrine is diametrically opposed to that whole scripture. It has you setting your affections on things on the earth and not the things in heaven. So you get offended by the Lord of glory, the Lord of heaven, Jesus Christ becomes offensive to you. You only pick out the words in the Bible that append themselves to prosperity and lend themselves to you getting some money. You can take any scripture in the Bible, and the next thing you know, it's somehow revolving around you getting some money out of it. That's amazing how you can take any scripture and it's about money some kind of a way. Because it's a prosperity driven doctrine. It's a delusion. It's heretical. It's a deception. You better get as far away from that trash as you can and get your eyes laser focused on heaven and get your treasure above, not on this earth. Let your eye become single, that your whole body will be full of light. Look at this. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment, clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So he says the lilies of the field don't toil and they don't spin. They don't have a knitting machine, or they're not knitting together a quilt or knitting together material. They're not spinning clothes. They're not taking cotton and making garments out of it. But yet they're arrayed in beautiful clothing that God gives them. It says, consider Solomon, he says then, in all his glory, he was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So you're running around trying to run game on God with a prosperity-driven doctrine instead of just believing by faith that God will take care of you. Therefore, take no thought. Therefore, take no thought. Laser focus. No thought. None. Therefore, take no thought. It's in your Bible. Now, this is Matthew 6:31. This is not my opinion. Read it for yourself. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. In other words, God is not a dummy. God knows you need to eat. God knows you need clothes. God knows you need somewhere to stay. He's not a dummy. Don't set your mind on this stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Stay laser focused on God in heaven, his will, obedience to the word of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your affection on doing his will and not your own, and God will take care of you. This is so simple. You don't have to try to mess this up. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So don't even think about tomorrow, because you might not want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. It might be some mess breaking out tomorrow. So it says you need to sufficiently deal with the evil that exists today, because you don't know what kind of mess might be breaking out tomorrow. That's bad, man. Let's wrap it up. We're talking about being laser focused, keeping your eyes single, staying focused on heaven. Don't think about your life. Take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll put on. Depend on God. Have faith in God for real. Focus your mind on God's providence and his sustainability. He'll sustain you. He'll keep you, man. He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Laser focus. Look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. This is a discipline we're talking about now, because there's a million things trying to distract you every day. Boy, the devil's vying for your mind like never before. Everywhere you turn, there's a butt-naked woman or a some guy in your face or some nut or coot trying to get you to go off on them. The devil wants you to cuss somebody out is what he wants. See if I can get some cussing out of you. But if there's no cursing in you, there's no cussing coming out of you, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't have it loaded in, it can't come out. So you got to check yourself to see what's in you. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Laser focused. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Don't look left, right, up, down, backward, forward. Focused on the journey that lies ahead. My destination is heaven. What must I do on a daily basis to enhance my journey toward heaven? Little prayer, little fasting, praise and worship flowing over me, good gospel messages playing over me, singing some psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs over myself. Man, talking about the word to somebody, talking about them being saved and what can they do to be saved, and getting them close to the Lord, handing them a tract, handing them a book, handing them a CD that'll help them, enhance them, getting them closer to the Lord. Just wrapped up in things of heaven and getting other people there as I'm on my way there. That's being laser focused. Laser, a thin light beam. Microscopically lasered in on my destination. Last scripture, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll head to the prayer line next. Laser focused. Man, you've got too many things on your mind. You're still trying to find yourself a man and all that kind of stuff. That's what's wrong with you. You're still trying to find a man, and a man is down here. A man is not in heaven. That's why you can't move ahead, because you're still caught up and down here. Still trying to show yourself to somebody and putting on all that tight stuff and trying to be seen. Cut all that stuff out. Cut all that stuff out. You can't advertise yourself to be bought like a prostitute down here in God's economy. Women have been taught to advertise themselves like they're a commodity. And they're thinking just showing body parts to folks is going to make them desirable. You're trashing yourself out. You're devaluing yourself so nobody will want you now. Nobody wants something they can have. I will say that again. Nobody wants something they can have, and nobody wants anything they've already had. You wonder why that guy left you? Because he had you. Once he had sex with you, it's like a used pair of shoes. You're going to have 35 pairs of shoes, and the only pair of shoes you want is the pair of shoes in the store that you don't have. I know you women in those high heels prove what I'm saying. You're going to have 75,000 pairs of high heels and go down here to one of these stores, and the only pair of shoes you see are the pair of shoes that you don't have. Those some bad shoes right there. You got 75,000 pairs of shoes. You'll never wear those shoes in a lifetime. You just got 2 feet. And all you can see is, those some bad shoes. I need to get those shoes. Because you're wrapped up in shoes. The only thing you want is what you don't have. So when a guy has you based on lust and not love, you old news. Tomorrow morning, you're old news. As soon as he get out of bed with you, you're old, used news. That's why you need to keep your eye focused on heaven and let God give you somebody that loves you and doesn't lust after you. Yeah, you got your body all beat. You got your body beat at the gym. You got your face slayed, or what they call it, beat, your face beat. And you ready to slay. Got your hair laid. You're ready to slay. You got your body beat. You got your face beat. All that stuff going on. And the guy doesn't even want. The guy doesn't even like women. He's a homosexual. He's a down low brethren. Because your affections are on earth. Because you're down here looking around for somebody to validate you. And you're going to end up in a tragedy. Get your eye above. Become laser focused. Look good. Exercise. Put your makeup on. Do your hair. Get your nails done. Get your toenails done. Look good. Feel good. Smell good. But get your affections above. Stop looking around for somebody to validate you because of how you look. Look at all these women on Facebook and Instagram, butt naked, showing body parts, looking for validation. And trying to pretend they're not doing it. Trying to talk holy religious talk, knowing good and well you're just on the internet, an empty hull of a woman seeking for validation because your affections are not above. You still need to hear somebody tell you you look good. You can't mend up a broken heart suffered by a man that dumped you by looking for validation from people. A lot of you look for validation from your girlfriends trying to tell you you're pretty. Get your affections above so your heart can be healed up. You can be made whole, and you don't need horizontal validation from anybody. Get your mind to be laser focused on God, Jesus, through his word, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you to lift you from these places of depravity into a higher place. Laser focused on heaven. Last scripture here. We'll wrap it up. Matthew 7. Take a look at verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. It's a narrow way. You need a laser. You got to go through a narrow passage here. You got to have laser focus to go down this road. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, how can you doeth what you don't knoweth? To do the will of God, you have to know the will of God. You got to be laser focused on God to find out his will for you. He that doeth the will of God, which is in heaven. The will of God is in heaven. You got to get focused on heaven to find out the will of God. He'll bless you as you do his will. See, marriage, if you're a young lady wanting to get married, do the will of God. And God will bless you with a husband as he sees fit. As God sees you cooperating with him and obeying him and doing his will, he will give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He will bless you because you're doing his will. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Do the will of God. And all the things you need and desire will be added to you. Get in the will of God. Focus on heaven at the expense of earth. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Why will he say that? Because they were doing stuff outside of the will of God. So you can do things, good things, that are not God things. He's going to, I never knew you. You were doing all this stuff thinking that was something that was applicable to the kingdom of God, but having never sought the will of God for you and never knowing what God called you to do, they were just dead works. I don't know you. Terrifying words. Laser focus on heaven at the expense of earth. Get your mind out of here. Let Christ be formed in you, according to Galatians chapter 4. This is what the book, The Organic Gospel, is all about. It's not about selling books. Like one man said, well, organic things are in vogue right now. So they named it the organic gospel because people relate it to organic foods. And it sounds like it's something nourishing for you. It's just a trick to sell books. See, people out there are weird, strange people. Get a copy of the organic gospel. It'll help you. We're talking about you getting out of here. We're talking about refocusing and reforming your mind to think about heavenly things at the expense of earth. We want to see you blessed. If you're a young lady, or a lady in general that wants to be married, we want to see you get married. We want to see you have kids. We want to see you have a family. We want to see your husband love you and nourish you as Christ loves the church. Man, we want to see things really happen for people. But you can't focus on earth. You can't follow the dictates of Beyonce and Nicki Minaj and Rihanna and think that God will bless you. You can't sit and listen to Juanita Bynum, a rebel against God, thinking God's going to bless you. Get out from under all these women that are trying to draw you away from God and get up under the right authority so God can bless you. Do it God's way. Stop following rebels. Stop following antichrist spirits. Stop following false prophets and false prophetesses. Get in the will of God. Get in the word of God. Align yourself with God. Focus your mind so God can bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to lift you. God wants to move you on to higher heights. But you got to focus your mind on heavenly things at the expense of earthly things. Set your affections on things above. God wants to move you on a straight line forward into success, godly prosperity. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. Soul prosperity comes first as God transforms you. And then the blessings come upon you to actually equip you to do his will and to enhance your life. God wants to see you reach your maximum potential. But to reach that maximum potential, you got to focus in on the will of God. You got to set your face like a flint and focus your mind on heavenly things. Your eye has to become single so your whole body will be full of light. With a multiplicity of things in your mind, in your mind's eye, focusing on those things, you'll find nothing but darkness. And if the light in you be darkness, if you receive some heretical, false doctrine that you believe to be true, you receive this revelation of light, and now you think the light that you received is valid when in fact it's darkness. The devil comes as an angel of light. He comes as a revelatory angel. His ministers come as ministers of righteousness. They're preaching to you and you're thinking it's valid. You're thinking it's God because you don't study to show yourself approved. You don't spend time in the Bible for yourself to understand what he's saying. You got to know the nature of God, the character of God, the emotions of God, the feelings of God, the likes and dislikes of God. You got to know the nuances of God. You got to know when God changes moods. You got to know all the little dictates and the little idiosyncrasies of God. That's how you know God. You got to be around God to know God. You got to spend time with God to know God. You got to keep your mind above. The character traits of God will transfer to you as the image of God is restored to you. In the image of God made he him. Male and female created he them. God wants to bless you. God wants to enhance you. God wants to move you on to higher heights. But you must keep your mind laser focused. This is the will of God. This is the plan of God. Walk in it. And of course, every day you know the war continues. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words, quicken them to the hearts of the hearer. Bring them up and out. Enhance their lives. Bless their lives. We want to see people get blessed. We want to see people be fruitful and multiply. We want God to withhold no good thing from you. We're speaking that over you. I hope God blesses you financially, physically, good husband, good wife, prosperous kids. Man, let the river flow. Let the golden life come to these people. Let the best come their way. Tired of half-done, raggedy stuff. God, pour out your spirit on all flesh and let people dream dreams and prophesy. Let's move on to higher heights and deeper depths in God. It's time for God to come on the scene with mighty signs and wonders, power, and doing what you can do. God, maximize your power and let's go. Let's move on to another place in Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to wrap it up for tonight, folks. Bible study is over and prayer is going strong. Started at 9 o'clock. It's going on now. Switch over to the prayer line. Leave here. Go to the prayer line. Come on. It's time to start praying. Don't just hear these messages. Pray them through. 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. Get a copy of the Organic Gospel, www.theorganicgospel.net, $13.95. Come on, get you a copy. Read it. Before you listen to what people say about it, read it. If it's wrong, disregard it. If it's right, walk in it. The Organic Gospel. Come to the conference in June. Register now, www.omegaministers.org. Click on the conference line. It's a little... icon there, you can click on that and it'll take you right through the process of registration and reservations. The conference, June 1st through June 4th, down in Palm Coast, Florida. Come on down, enjoy some time with the brothers, 4 days down in Florida for this year's conference. Last thing, Dunamis Tabernacle. After you leave tonight and you get the prayer line over with and get off the prayer line, support Dunamis Tabernacle tonight. Get on the internet, www.omegaministers.org. Click on support, then donate. Support, then donate. We're at $92,000, pushing toward $1 million this year. We want to stand this thing up, buy the building, renovate the building, move into the building, and launch a concerted attack on the devil that will not be abated. Once we go, there's no turning back. Once you go into Normandy in the invasion, there's no going back. It's the point of no return. It's time to bring this battle to the devil's door. We got to take this thing to the devil. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Get on the prayer line now, y'all. Again, one last time, 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. Be blessed. Stay encouraged. Stay out of the mess that the devil sets up for you. Avoid him at all costs. Stay away from everything he does. Whatever you do in the name of Jesus, stay out of the devil's convoluted, perverted, stinking, filthy matrix. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another important message. We'll be talking about something that's germane to all of us and it's necessary to examine as we talk about the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Satan has a church. Satan has a synagogue. we're going to evaluate it and reveal it to you so you can avoid it at all costs. Y'all have a good night. Kiss the kids. Blessings on everybody's family. I bless you in the name of the Lord. And we just thank you for listening again to this message. We love everybody. God bless you and have a good, safe, and prosperous night.